broadcasting live from atop the Rocky Mountains, the crossroads of the West. You are listening to the Liberty Roundtable Radio Talk Show.
All right, happy to have you along, my fellow Americans. Sam Bushman and Kirk Crosby live on your radio. This is Hour 2 of 2. This is Friday, January the 24th in the year of our Lord, 2020. And our goal to promote God, family, and country and protect life, liberty, and property is still in force. Welcome to the broadcast. Hope you're doing fantastic. The good Sheriff Richard Max with us. He's not feeling too well, but he is he's more than a sunshine patriot. He can't hardly talk, and he's on your radio defending the sacred cause of liberty. That's who we are. That's what we do. 6 days a week on your radio. By the way, David A. Clark Jr., the good sheriff, will be with me tomorrow. So, you know, hey, sheriffs are standing for the sacred cause, that's for sure. And we're grateful for their participation in our efforts. Before we get to the topics that I want to discuss the second hour, I just want to say, Sheriff, you know, I used to think if I ever went to jail for standing for the sacred cause of liberty, that I'd have plenty of friends that would stand with me and help me. I've abandoned that view. I'll go to jail and be forgotten about and be ignored and be abused and be whatever, just like poor Ammon. Not everybody's forgot about them. There's guys like me and you and Kurt, and, you know, there's a few. But we don't have any power. We don't have any authority. We don't have any money. We don't have any ability to move the needle or do anything. All the criminals are getting freed by Kim and Kanye and Donald, and the rest of us are just struggling to defend innocence in prison to the best of our ability with zero resources. And so, I used to think, man, you know, my friends will come and ride to the Calvary and come to my defense or whatever. Now I just believe I just rot in that sucker. I just rot in jail that nobody, hey, there'll be nobody left when they come for me. So am I crazy?
You're crazy, Sam. I guess we're all crazy because we still believe in the holy cause of liberty despite all the evil.
Yes, we do, sir.
That is looking so and seemingly so insurmountable. And it can get discouraging, but the commitment that we've made, you've made, I've made, Kurt's made, several others have made, and I believe Steve Stockman is among those who have committed to, no matter what, I'm going to stand for liberty. And I will tell you and Kurt and your listening audience something that I have not done before, that I've compromised my vote in the past for president. This year, in 2020, I will vote for the president who is standing for the principles of liberty the most. Be it Democrat.
Well, that means you're going to vote for a constitutional party candidate, probably.
It might be, but with this that you've just mentioned in last hour about Trump supporting and appearing at the pro-life rally.
Hey, he declared Wednesday National Sanctity of Life Day as well. Nobody in the press covered it except for us. It was a flat-out blackout, sir.
That is really astonishing because it's my ground zero also, that we now have a government that does not even come close to supporting the first plank of the Declaration of Independence, life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. And now that they actually call it, Sam, a constitutional right for a woman to kill a baby in her womb.
Or even outside, it can be delivered, buddy. They'll just make it comfortable. They contemplate how to administer murder to the baby. They do that now too, buddy.
Correct. Yeah, and I've thought of that numerous times. I've talked about that numerous times. I even mentioned it in class yesterday. So, Sam, it's just gotten too far. And that might move the needle back towards Trump because he is the only one that can do something about it. The Constitution Party can't do anything about it.
Yeah, you're right. You got a valid point. I can't argue the point at all.
And the other thing to consider, at least in your case versus Sam and I's case, Arizona, I don't mean it's a toss-up state. I mean, it's not purple, I guess, is it? There are at least
I don't know what purple means.
Leanings
you got red,
that way.
Red and blue states, Kurt, just so you know.
I know, but they say purple are the ones where you can't really tell. And I think it's getting closer there with leaders like McCain and stuff like that in the past.
I'd say it's a red state that pretends it's blue.
Doug Ducey too is coming out in favor of red flag laws.
In Utah, at least, as far as I can tell, it'd be quite a while till the Democrats can pull off a win in Utah. But it's, you know, it's certainly getting closer as you get. Well, that's true. Good
point.
That's
what I'm saying. They got those,
I'm talking about where they vote for a presidential candidate who's of the Democrat Party. I would be surprised, I'm not. I wouldn't be shocked, completely shocked, but I'd be surprised for that to come for a while. Whereas in Arizona, you know, that's where you are, then you're going to have to think a little longer about it, I think, you know, for that
reason.
I'd
just get the heck out of Arizona is what I'd do.
Well, that's kind of what they're hoping, you know, is good people leave places like that, and then you have Californication of all these other states, you know, whether it's Texas or whatever. They want to, you know, invade them and then turn them into, I guess you call them blue states, I say.
Yeah, but all I can tell you is this. You know, they're really mixing it up here. So Bloomberg now is in fourth place and creeping up in the polls. He's avoided the strategy of debating with the socialists. He's managed to literally spend his money and gain ground in all the polls. Donald was ignoring him because those surrounding him, his advisors, said, ignore Bloomberg. He doesn't matter. A tinker's darn. And then, well, now Bloomberg has got into the Donald's head. So we're off to the races because they say the second Donald pays attention to Bloomberg, he'll get national status. And that's exactly what's starting to happen. Headline says this: a Bloomberg ad on Fox and Friends hits its target audience of one. And the article goes on and explains how Donald ignored his advisors now, and he's paying attention and attacking Bloomberg big time. Bloomberg, by the way, has now poured $256 million into his campaign in only the last 2 months. So I think it'll help the low polling by elevating Bloomberg's standing. So there you have it. What do you say to that? Do you think we're going to have a Bloomberg candidacy on our hands?
Well, first, he didn't make he didn't qualify for the debate. I don't know if he was trying to avoid him. He didn't qualify.
Well, I know, but he came in too late on purpose and all that kind of stuff. So the fact that he didn't qualify doesn't mean that he couldn't have qualified. He's just completely taking a different strategy intentionally. It's about money and ads and taking on the Donald as a credible opposition to Donald, while the other folks just, you know, promote socialism in the swamp. So it's it's a tactical, strategic decision resulting in that he doesn't qualify for the debates, but he doesn't want to be there anyway.
Yeah, well, I think he should have been at the debate if he really wants to stand toe to toe with the people and show the American people I'm not just hiding behind ads with my billions of dollars. I'm willing to go toe to toe with these people that I'm against because they're a bunch of wimps and I'm not, or whatever he wants to show. But he's probably as scary as Elizabeth Warren is. And some of those other idiots on the Democratic ticket, Bloomberg is downright scary. He has actually said he's going to take guns. He believes only the police and military should have guns, just like Mexico. He wants to turn us into a Mexico, which leaves the mafia and the gangs and the cartels in America completely in charge of the violence. And our lives will be subject to the people who have guns. That's it. And he's really scared. And one of the scarier things he said when he was mayor of New York City, is that we need to make laws that people can't go and buy big gulps because they're too stupid to take care of themselves. I mean, a guy who believes he's to protect us from our own stupidity. That's an endless government, and that's what he's talking about, complete, endless
control. I get it, and I agree, but I'm telling you right now, this guy's come from nowhere to spending a lot of money to being ignored by the Donald to now in his campaign commercials. He's literally following Donald Trump around the country with campaign commercials. that literally are talking about the military, all the hot button issues. And Donald now gives Mini Bloomberg, Mini Mike, enough attention to where, hey, battle's on.
Amen. Yeah, it's.
And you could dismiss Bloomberg and say he's an idiot. He doesn't have any credibility. The difference is he has more money than Donald ever thought of having.
No. It's Bloomberg is definitely legitimate with that kind of money. Sam, I've told you this before. If my campaign would have had money, I could have. I don't know if I would have won, but I would have made a big splash, and I would have been in the top three candidates. Both when I ran for U.S. Senate in 2006. And when I ran for Congress in 2016, I had 2000.
I don't know why, Sheriff, because, you know, money isn't the mother's milk of politics.
Oh, yeah.
No, I guess that's the way it works, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's why, by the way, that's why I'm giving Mini Mike attention. I agree with President Trump and with Richard Mack that the guy's a joke. But you know what? With that kind of money, you can say he's a joke all you want, but the fact is, he's literally changing the game. In fact, everywhere you go on the internet, you see these ads. He's literally following the president around the country with these ads. And I'm telling you, if some of these other candidates misstumble and the debate promotes them too far socialist, instantly Bloomberg becomes viable overnight almost. And he's missed all
the... He's got lots of media, too.
Yeah, that's the point. He's missed all the... What do they call that? Gaffes? That the other candidates
Bloomberg.
Have made? By staying out of the fray? What if he got a candidate like Hillary Clinton with him or something?
Why don't we say to the government writ large that they have to spend a little bit less? Anybody ever had less money this year than you had last? Anybody better have a 1% pay cut? You deal with it. That's what government needs, a 1% pay cut. If you take a 1% pay cut across the board, you have more than enough money to actually pay for the disaster relief. But nobody's going to do that because they're fiscally irresponsible. Who are they? Republicans. Who are they? Democrats. Who are they? Virtually the whole body is careless and reckless with your money. So the money will not be offset by cuts anywhere. The money will be added to the debt, and there will be a day of reckoning. What's the day of reckoning? The day of reckoning may well be the collapse of the stock market. The day of reckoning may be the collapse of the dollar. When it comes, I can't tell you exactly, but I can tell you it has happened repeatedly in history when countries ruin their currency.
Hey, listen up. This is a deep state alert. Former Texas Congressman Steve Stockman, who moved to arrest Lois Lerner for contempt of Congress, has been imprisoned by the very office that Lerner led. You heard right. Stockman hit the Obama administration hard, and they hit back with the full force of the federal government. The guy who said he wanted Mark Levin as Speaker of the House was the first to threaten Obama's impeachment, exposed Hillary selling steel to the Iranians, and blocked both Obama's immigration and gun bills from even reaching the House. But Obama holdovers came after him in federal court with trumped up charges and have locked our guy up. Like many others, he was on Obama's hit list. Steve fought for us in Congress. Now we need to fight for him. Don't abandon this wounded hero on the battlefield. Let's help cover his massive legal costs. To chip in $5 or more, text the word FIGHT to 444-999. That's FIGHT, F-I-G-H-T, to 444-999, or go to defendapatriot.com. That's defendapatriot.com.
So when Bloomberg spends $256 million on ads in 2 months, you know what? You can say what you want, but he's got a strategy. And I think the strategy is to avoid all the fray, all the lean left socialism stuff that the primaries promote. Just imagine if Bloomberg got a Mitt Romney and said, hey, Senator Romney, why don't you go ahead and be my running mate? We'll go ahead and take on the Donald. You say, wait a minute, Sam. You know, how can that be? Isn't Bloomberg a Democrat? And well, didn't Bloomberg used to be a Republican? What? Who's who in this thing? Okay, and you look at it and go, what about a Hillary? What about grabbing a Elizabeth Warren? Why don't you jump on Bloomberg's ticket? And I'm telling you right now, the shakeup will shock you. But I'm telling you this, he's intentionally avoiding the fray so he doesn't make, what do they call those? Is the word gaffes? He doesn't want to make the mistakes all the
gaffes.
Other candidates are making.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
All right? And so it's, you better... I don't know whether Bloomberg will have a real chance or not. It all depends on whether the media courts him or whether they just steal his money as long as they can and then jettison him. But if the media gets behind Bloomberg in a way they got behind the Donald, you better be cognizant of this character. I'm telling you that right now. All right, but they might mix vote fraud in as well. Dateline, Illinois. Kurt?
Well, that's right, Sam. And the headline reads, Illinois State Board of Elections confirms non-citizens voted in 2018. They say non-citizens voted and hundreds more were improperly registered to vote. According to an Illinois state election official that confirmed that to local media, in total, they say only 574 non-citizens were improperly registered to vote in the 2018 election. And out of those non-citizens, only 19 fraudulently voted, according to state data from WCIA.com. Though the figure, they say, of 19 non-citizens voting seems small, local reporter Mark Maxwell noted that in 2018, some elections in Macon County were decided by just one vote. My question for you, Sam, and the good sheriff, do you think that now that they're coming clean, saying they got some non-citizens voting and improperly registered, do you think we're really getting the facts now?
I think you're getting a blip of the facts enough to dismiss it and say, oh, it was just an anomaly. We had a programming error, but it's small. It's a one-time blip. Don't worry about it.
But they're
not going to admit to real fraud. They're the ones that shut down Donald Trump's fraud commission, saying there was no vote fraud, when I've got Barack Obama on recording saying they commit fraud. And then they literally shut down the commission, and now the media has the audacity to go, Donald Trump's not hard enough on vote fraud. They're literally saying that right now. What do you say, Sheriff?
Yeah, vote fraud's been a real problem for a long time. It got us Lyndon Johnson. And so they've been able to do it with paper ballots as much as the computers, but the computer leaves no trail. With the paper ballot, you can create a trail of evidence with it. And we lobbied Jan Brewer, when she was Secretary of State here in Arizona, and not Secretary of State. Anyway, it's the Secretary, whatever it is. It's the person who will be governor if the governor leaves or can't fulfill his term. So she became governor after that. But when she was in charge of the voting as Secretary of Arizona, she refused any of our efforts to do a 1% hand count to verify and try to protect the integrity of voting in Arizona. She fought it tooth and nail. She was so offended that we could suggest that there could be a problem with computer voting. And now we know that it's so easily hacked. Any 7-year-old can do it. And people have hacked these computers all the time. But think of it is, it leaves no trail. It's gone into cyberspace. And so it's very difficult to investigate it. Even Barack Obama has said both the Republicans and Democrats have messed with elections. And yet still, no one does a dang thing about it.
And they act like they're going to do something about it. And they try to do something about it. But again, the swamp is so brutal. You know, did Donald really just float this fraud commission to look good and then pull it back because he didn't want to do it? Or did he really get shut down? I don't know the truth. I just know the swamp makes sure nothing really moves forward. At every attempt, at every reality check, there seems to be a turn of events that defends the swamp and stops the justice from taking place. All right, we got to move to a singer-songwriter in the news. It's the saddest story I've heard in a long time. Singer-songwriter says, I'm sorry to crowd. Bows his head. Dies on stage. Most folks didn't even really realize that he had died for a bit. David Olney, 71 years old, quietly passed away in the midst of a performance. He was at the I guess they call this thing the 38 Songwriters Festival. And he was playing and he just said, stopped and said, I'm sorry, bowed his head and went to his maker, Kurt. It's a sad story.
Yeah,
wow.
He was gone. Have you heard of this guy, David Olney? I just didn't know who he was, but
Research and go on YouTube and Wikipedia and read up on him and listen to his music and stuff?
I just
like that?
Figured since you're Mr. Music Man.
Yeah, see, Kurt wants to leave everything to me to do. I get it. I understand.
Now, this is from the Western Journal reporter.
See, here's
this,
what Kurt does. He finds a headline that takes like 10 seconds to find, emails it to me, and then he expects me to do all the research and deliver. And he really expects me to go ahead and get the sound bites from the funeral and get the music and trim it all up.
All right, I'll do the research.
All right,
I guess his it says that his songs were recorded by Linda Ronstadt, Emmylou Harris, and others. He was performing at a festival in Florida, is where this place was, so at least it was warm.
Because when you die, you want it to be warm.
Well, it's a little nicer. They say that... The one person commented and says, I'm so sorry for his wife and family and friends and all the people who loved him and his music, even those who never heard of him, I guess like me. We all lost someone important last night. I'd say everybody's important, but, somebody else commented, the world lost a good one last night. And, that's... I guess they say he never dropped his guitar or fell off his stool. Was as easy and gentle as he was. So, that's...
There you go. Known for You Never Know.
Story.
There you go. So, there you have it. What do you want to respond to this, Sheriff?
Nah, that's all right. That's not a biggie for me.
Yeah. I just thought it was kind of an interesting story.
I'm going to introduce you.
Yeah.
And then just do your first two songs that you want to talk about, and that's cool.
Okay.
Here he is, ladies and gentlemen.
Was that? That sounded like it was going to be a good song.
Yeah, I got it. It's good.
Listen up.
I've heard of him, but I've never really followed him. I think that's really good.
Although the guy on the couch was a challenge.
Yeah. Come on now.
You ready, David?
Yeah.
Hey, welcome back to Acoustic Interlude. I'm John McDonnell, and for this segment, we're broadcasting from the 30A Songwriters Festival. Look who we found, an old buddy. Haven't seen him in a few years. Here's David Olney.
There he is, ladies and gentlemen.
By a friend of mine, Jack Murray, from up in... Pennsylvania.
This is the concert he died at, by the way. Gentlemen, this is the concert in which he passed away, Kurt, right there on YouTube. And you could tell that he's not feeling too well, but he does the best he can in spite of it all. That's why I played that first part before they introduced him, because they're like, David, are you all right, buddy? And he's like, oh, yeah. And then later he passed away, Kurt. Hmm. So I got one comment. You ready?
Yeah. Go ahead.
Rip, my brother.
Rest in peace.
Rest in peace, sir.
Yep. And blessings to his wife, Regine, and their son and daughter,
Amen. See, Kurt wanted me to grab that YouTube, cut that all, get that all ready. He just wants me to do it all, baby. I'll run the board. I'll play the YouTubes. I'll get the story. I'll just drill in and get it done. This is Liberty Roundtable Live. The good sheriff's just kicking back with lemonade, isn't he? All right.
Your daily Liberty Newswire. You're listening to Liberty News Radio. USA Radio News with Chris Barnes.
Those taking part in a huge anti-abortion march and rally in Washington, D.C. today are gathering at this hour. It's the 47th annual March for Life. It will be the first time a president has attended and addressed the crowd in person, as President Trump will be there later. Here's presidential spokesman Hogan Gidley.
He's a friend to those who stand up for life at all stages, and this is just another instance in which he can do that.
In 2018, President Trump became the first president to address the March for Life through a video message. As many as 500,000 people are expected at that event today. Democratic impeachment managers set to wrap up their opening statements today in the Senate impeachment trial of President Trump. Then President Trump's legal team will begin their opening arguments tomorrow. And this is USA Radio News.
The widespread wildfires in Australia are having disastrous effects on Australian wildlife. The Morris Animal Foundation, a global leader in advancing animal health, says they'll allocate $1 million for scientific research grants that will fund major studies to help. Tiffany Grunert, president and CEO of Morris Animal Foundation.
Our role will be to research the impact of the fires on wildlife in support of restoration efforts, from land mammal population studies to the effects of the fire on marine wildlife downstream. There's a great deal of research to be conducted in support of these unique and valuable species.
The ongoing wildfires have destroyed more than 12 million acres of land and impacted between 500 and 800 million animals, including koalas. Wayne Boardman, School of Animal and Veterinary Science at the University of Adelaide.
Now we only have 10,000 koalas left. Our colleagues, with the support of Morris Animal Foundation, will continue to investigate the health status of this important population following the bushfires.
To support the effort, go to morrisanimalfoundation.org.
As the impeachment trial against President Trump continues in the U.S. Senate, his personal lawyer Rudy Giuliani says he's going to start exposing dirt he's collected on Joe Biden and his son Hunter.
Today at noon, I will give an introduction. Starting next week, I will present witnesses. I have them all on tape.
Giuliani speaking there on Fox this morning, saying he has solid proof of shady dealings between the former vice president and his son, claiming that the Democratic presidential hopeful pressured Ukrainian officials by withholding millions of dollars in loans in order to get a top prosecutor fired, a prosecutor that Giuliani says was going to be investigating a Ukrainian energy company that employed Hunter Biden at the time. A major explosion this morning at an industrial site in Houston. It happened at the Watson Valve Services Company, shattering windows all around the area, and at least one worker is still listed as missing. And you're listening to USA Radio News.
And our prayers are with David Olney, ladies and gentlemen, and his family. I wonder if I'll die like that. I'll just die on your radio. Pretty soon, Kurt will be like, Sam? I'll be like, hey, man, I'm out, you know? Is that how it's going to go for me? What do you say, Kurt? Is that how I'm going to kick it, just standing up for the sacred cause of liberty? This guy died
It'd
when
be
he,
a good
he
way,
loved doing
I think,
best, you
know?
The
only other way I'd kind of prefer it would be if you're able to die the same time your wife can, you know, the same, you know, minute or whatever, and then you can just, you know, not be sad for each other. You can,
yeah, that's right,
be together. Yeah,
you know, a little harder on the kids, but hey, no problem with that. Yeah. You know, I guess it depends on how old you are too, and how unexpected it was, and some of those factors. But don't worry, more than 100,000 people are alive and well, and they want tickets, Kurt.
Well, and, you know, President Trump's got enough.
I thought he wasn't very popular. I thought he was just kind of like a whatever weirdo that everybody disliked, Kurt.
Well, and it's an upcoming rally, and, you know, you'd think, hey, this place is supposed to hold 7,500 people. So if you got 100,000 people wanting to get in, it's probably, let's see, Texas, maybe it's Florida. No, you'd be wrong, ladies and gentlemen. It's New Jersey. Yeah, New Jersey. And President's going to have a Keep America Great Again rally, Keep America Great rally in Wildwood, New Jersey. I guess it could be kind of wild going on. I guess Democrat turned Republican Representative Jeff Van Drew announced that 100,000 people looking for tickets to the rally. It's exciting, he says. I'm proud to say for this event, of all the events President Trump has done, we've had the most ticket requests.
Now, it's kind of cool, the name of the place that they're holding this thing, Kurt. It's called Wildwood.
Yeah.
That's right. Pretty wild.
I guess they say the last time a president visited there was 1891. Mm, that's a little while back.
I don't think Donald was there.
No, Benjamin Harrison traveled to the area back then.
All right.
Trump.
Are you going, Sheriff?
I would like to, but no.
It's like modern-day political Woodstock, bro. Come on.
Yeah.
You need to be there, man. Kurt, you rolling in?
If I thought I would accomplish something, me being there, I would, but I just don't have the money right now. And
I got to roll in there with your military vehicle, Sheriff.
Are you making fun of me or Alex?
I'm just kind of saying, I think we go different style, you know? You'd go with cowboy boots and a pickup truck, wouldn't you?
Yeah, I would. That's exactly correct.
Yeah, I'm just trying to highlight the difference of how we go about defending the sacred cause of liberty. We just have a different style, that's all.
Yeah.
Yeah, Mr. Van Drew, who was one of two Democrats who voted against the Trump impeachment thing, and then he switched parties over the issue, says, we're proud to have him. It shows he cares about the big towns and big places, and he also cares about the little places.
Amen to that. All right, speaking of little places.
By the way, the tickets are free, just so you know.
Yeah, you'll get one, I'm sure.
Well, I mean,
good luck.
I probably will stay here.
You won't even be able to get one, Kurt.
They're probably going to have a little overflow if they've got 7,500 people can fit in it. And
yeah, you can watch it on your TV in your house, buddy.
Yeah,
watch it on YouTube. That's the overflow room. All right, Idaho, speaking of small places, it's a tiny state. What do they got, 1.5 million people in that whole state? Nevertheless, it's an important state, especially when they join the movement, Kurt. You say, Sam, what movement are you talking about? Kurt's got answers.
Well, I guess the headline reads, Idaho joins movement to prevent transgender athletes from competing against girls. Now, you know, as to it being a movement, I didn't know it was a movement, Sam, but I'm hoping that it is. I mean, movement towards sanity, I guess you'd say, something like that. But, you know.
You guys don't understand the movement afoot, do you?
Some of the girls are getting a little upset when they keep getting beat by the guys who say they're a girl, right?
Well, all I'm telling you is this is the trend. And sad to say, I'm telling you, you will capitulate, you will roll over, you will cave.
Yeah. Anyway, okay, I guess they're caving, the Republican. That's a good point. Maybe in Idaho they're not.
Well, for now they're not, but those guys will get kicked out of office and shut down, and there'll be big money against them, and it'll be over. Even Chick-fil-A caved.
Good point. State representative there, Barbara Ehart, E-H-A-R-D-T, told a local news outlet that she is going to introduce the bill that requires individuals to compete in women's sports based on their biological sex, not their gender identity.
See, she's off her
boys
rocker.
And,
she doesn't
boys
stand
and
a chance.
Will not be able to take the place of girls and women in sports because it's not fair. We cannot physically compete against boys and men. The inherent biological scientific advantages that boys and men have over girls and women, even if they were to take hormones, even if they were to spend a couple of years on estrogen, that's not going to replace the inherent biological advantages that boys and men have.
Backwoods biblical
haters. EastIdahoNews.com. She says this bill is meant to protect women and girls. However, she said the language of the bill focuses on DNA and chromosomes, meaning that it does not single out biological males. Biological females would be prevented from competing in men's sports as well, she said. Oh, well, that's
right, but here's the reason that you're going to lose. Whether it's the bisexual, transgender, gay, lesbian, queer, or questioning, or, you know, males becoming females,
whatever.
Or all the different, you know, all that is thrown into one big, I don't know what you call it, basket of jettison scientific reality, jettison biblical guidance for thousands of years on the altar of this, quote, political correctness. Everybody is capitulating, and it will be you next. You say, Sam, oh, no, Listen, Brigham Young University just capitulated. Did you see the story? Brigham Young University, they call it a ballroom dance competition, now allowing same-sex couples. The statement Brigham Young University has on it is it goes flat out against our honor and our dress codes. Can't do it. Won't do it. Can't do it in class. But they are hosting a big, quote, national or international dance competition. And the gender definitions in that dance competition, quote, national organization, used to be a male and female. But now it's changed and it just says basically two partners. So now Brigham Young University, by force, by hook, by crook, by decision, by whatever you want to say, is now going to have same-sex dancing partners at Brigham Young University. Now, I don't know if they were under contract and couldn't back out of it, and they'll change their mind next year. I don't know what will happen. I'm just telling you, they've been holding this thing for literally decades at Brigham Young University, and now because of this national dance organization forcing it down their throats, they've rolled over, Sheriff.
Well, you know, we probably ought to start playing basketball and football on Sundays like the rest of the colleges and start compromising everything. To me, the church would have kept its standards there and canceled such an event. You either keep your standards or you don't. And so, you know, I find that kind of astonishing.
Yeah, I don't want to speak ill of the
this
church.
This is not, this is, but the, I'm reading the story of, you know, it's not saying that the churches, the attendees of BYU are not the same-sex couples. This is where they have the national amateur dance sport championships, and the
yes,
people
but we don't
who
know
are
if,
coming
if Brigham
to
Young University
on
couples
it.
will join in the competition now, right?
That's what I saw, Sam. I saw an article where that was going. I thought it said it was going to happen, that college students at BYU could participate the same way.
So it's a weird scenario, and I don't know. Again, I don't want to criticize the church over this because Brigham Young University is not necessarily the church, and there are many times contractual obligations. They might be behind the scenes forced contractually to do this, so they are. They may not. And an example of this is the Boy Scouts. You know, a lot of moves were made, and the church chose to stay the Boy Scouts temporarily. For what reasons, I don't know, but they eventually said, hey, we need to get out. So I don't want to be too critical about this because I don't know the behind-the-scenes inner workings and what really was agreed to and not and what obligations people are under. And I don't know, and my goal isn't to be critical, but it is to highlight that I think that the gay and lesbian lobby has put together so much money and so much court backing and whatever you want to call it, legalese, and to where it's almost impossible not to roll over now, Kurt, is the point. Now, whether they
attract the BYU
themselves
dance,
later, time will tell.
The BYU Dance Department Chair, Kurt Holman, said, as we are hosting an event that is sanctioned by the NDCA, which is the stands for the National Dance Sport Championships, we are obligated to follow their rules and regulations, of BYU Dance Department Chair Kurt Holman said. According to Holman, the NDCA has always defined a couple as a man and a woman. That changed in September when a lawsuit changed that rule to place
that's what I mean.
No
so
restrictions on what gender combination constitutes a couple.
So the lawsuits are forcing the change, and then contractually, you know, I don't know if they can back out of it. I don't know the story. I don't mean to be critical, but I'm telling you, they're forcing everyone to roll over. Hold on.
You know where the solution can be found, Mr. President? In churches, in wedding chapels, in maternity wards across the country and around the world. More babies will mean forward-looking adults, the sort we need to tackle long-term, large-scale problems. American babies in particular are likely going to be wealthier, better educated, and more conservation-minded than children raised in still industrializing countries. As economist Tyler Cowen recently wrote, quote, by having more children, you're making your nation more populous, thus boosting its capacity to solve climate change. The planet does not need for us to think globally and act locally so much as it needs us to think family and act personally. The solution to so many of our problems, at all times and in all places, is to fall in love, get married, and have some kids.
Have we realized the assault against our lives our liberties, our faith. To defeat this assault, Christians and all people of goodwill should have strategies to prevail in our faith and principles, which are simple. No need for a complex formula. One goal, one aim. A strategy like the heroic Christians of the past. We win, they lose. Nothing less. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm by a friend of Medjugorje. The strategy of heaven revealed. Big Q, Little Q. The Calm Before the Storm. Available on Amazon.com or by calling Caritas in the U.S. at 205-672-2000.
Begging politicians, bureaucrats, and educrats, and all do-gooders to please obey the supreme law of the land, the Constitution. This is Liberty Roundtable.
All right, so it's a big epic battle, and I'm saying legally they're forcing people to roll over. And I don't know the behind-the-scenes details about this, and we don't have direction directly from the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints. I go to their newsroom, and there's not a word about it. Brigham Young University is not necessarily the church, and Kurt wisely points out, you know what, they have to obey the rules of this organization if they're going to host this. Now, you would say, well, why don't they just quit hosting it? Well, I don't know if they can contractually back out that like that. I mean, I don't know the legalese. You know, it's usually the church's way, and I don't speak for the church. I'm just giving an opinion here. It's usually the church's way to avoid controversy, to fulfill their obligations honorably, and then to make decisions that appropriately carry forward the mission of the church. I don't speak for the church, but I'm saying. So the BYU ballroom dance competition to allow same-sex couples. Now, I don't want to be too critical of the church over this. Like I say, they may not have a choice in the matter at this point. But I want to highlight something that Elder Ronald A. Rasband of the 12 Apostles of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints said. He said this as he spoke to Brigham Young University just recently, and I think it correlates is why I'm bringing it up. Choice depends on robust religious freedom. And the point is we will lose more and more and more and more of our choices if we don't defend and live according to religious freedom principles. And so I don't bring this up to criticize the church or Brigham Young University. I bring this up to say that they are literally trapping all of us in these legal antics with big money and legalese to the point where I don't know if you can resist this at this point. We have same-sex marriage in America. We have now they're changing driver's licenses to put different genders on them. Or a non-binary gender, and they're changing databases historically to where same-sex couples will be married and in their databases as married. It goes on to the point where I don't know at this point if we can stop it. And so I don't bring it up to criticize anybody, but to make a point about that, do you want to finish your statements on this, Kurt?
Well, one of the things that I will say is that I think, you know, you can learn a lot by what the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints did when it came to the whole scouting program. As the scouts began to be more politically correct and get rid of, you know, these tried and true things, the church, and I don't know for sure if this is why they did that, but now they've completely, you know, separated from the scouts, and they have a new program that is a worldwide program that goes, you know, all over the world, and it's the same for everybody instead of, you know, some for the kids in America and some different for outside. So I would be surprised if in this case with this ballroom dancing thing, if what had happened was that BYU had accepted the hosting duties, if you will, of this thing quite a while back.
Yeah, they've done this for decades.
Sounds like as of last fall, then this NDCA thing, you know, the National Dance Sport Championships or whatever, changed their basically their views of about how this whole thing works. And I think they found themselves in this spot. So I wouldn't be surprised if in the future they didn't have competitions, but they weren't, you know, the ones that were sponsored by this group, you know.
Yeah, time will tell. And like I say, I think that the Mormon Church or the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints got trapped in this because of contractual obligations. And again, I don't speak for the church. I'm just looking at it and going, whoa, this is shocking. And then I'm coming up with my understanding based on, you know, prior precedents, what the church stands for, how the church handles these things. And I'm doing my best to apply that to what's going forward. I have no idea what they're going to do. I know that I don't want to be critical of the church over this. I do know that I want to bring it up, though, and not avoid the topic. But I want to say I believe it's contractual in nature, and I believe the church honorably takes care of their duties, and then they make the choices that are best for the advancement of the testimony of Jesus Christ. And that's all I really want to say about it, except it needs to be brought up because everybody's going to be forced to capitulate. You don't want to hire somebody or you speak out. We're all going to be in trouble if we don't defend religious freedom. As Ronald A. Rasband wisely points out, this is a religious freedom discussion. And the more we lose religious freedom, the more we will lose our agency to choose, Sheriff.
Yeah, I'm having a hard time not criticizing this, so I'll just say this. The left who believe in abortion said that they would get abortion, wholesale abortion in this country, and they would have Christians pay for it. This sounds like the homosexual movement says, you know what, we'll promote this and we'll even get churches across the country to go along. And that bottom line bothers me. I don't fully understand the issues of homosexuality or how people become or are born or whatever homosexually. But I do know that the church takes and has taken a strong stand against it. And I find this surprising, if not astonishing, that this was allowed to happen.
Well, and again, I don't know if it's contractual or what. When we say allowed to happen, I'm not so sure how much ability or control. Now, to me, it seems like if you change the whole gender reality, and I don't know if you could go back and say, well, because of that change, we feel like we're out of this contract. You've changed the contract substantially. I don't know if you can do that or not. I'm not an attorney for the church. Again, I don't speak from any point of view except to bring it up and then to, in my opinion, give the church every opportunity to say, hey, you know what? This isn't what we stand for and believe in. We may have been forced by contract or whatever else. I want to hold my judgment at this point. And I want to really highlight what Elder Rasband said, because I think it directly relates. Elder Rasband, speaking to people at Brigham Young University, he's a member of the Quorum of the 12 Apostles for the Church of Jesus Christ. And he basically said, choice depends on robust religious freedom. We're losing religious freedom in America like 90 mile going north. And as a result, choices are very difficult. They might not have a choice in this matter. The church isn't one to talk and isn't one to release negotiations behind the scenes or contractual obligations or anything else. So I don't expect we'll hear too much about this. But I agree with Kurt that we'll probably see some change in codifying of standards and things going forward. Time will tell. We'll keep an eye on that ball just for you. But there's the update. Netflix is in the news, Kurt.
Well, yeah, there's this. I thought this might be kind of interesting to talk about, Sam. Apparently, what you've got are these different ways that entities kind of evaluate, you know, your, I guess, the number of views or the number of, listens or whatever. I guess right now they're going to change the way they figure out how many people are viewing things. Like I saw some reports where if you're going to be on there and watching the program from Netflix for more than 2 minutes, then it's going to show that you viewed it, you know, in other words, that you're a supporter or whatever. And I guess Facebook has even chimed into this whole thing, but you know, it all goes back to this whole thing where they'll kind of tell you how many people are watching or how many people are viewing or listening or whatever. And so many times when you see that kind of stuff, you could sure question it based on everything we know about the media. Right, Sam?
Yeah. And let's talk about how they used to call views and how they've changed. Do you have that detail?
Well, what you've got is Market Watch is who reported this, and I guess they're lowering the bar for a view to 2 minutes.
Yeah, so let me just stop you there for a second.
Yeah.
So the devil's in the details on this from an IT point of view. How do you determine a view? How do you determine a listen? What constitutes, okay, and so let's say you got a two-hour radio show, Liberty Roundtable Live, and you got one two-hour block, and somebody listens for 2 minutes, one person for 2 minutes. They're saying I can count that as a view. I say that's flat-out bogus. Now, let's say that I break the program into 2 hours, each separate hour, which is what we do, Kurt. Now you got two programs, not one, in a literal sense. Each hour is independent in my mind, okay? Because you can listen to 1 hour and not the other. That's why. Okay, I know you can listen to part of an hour, but I can't break it down, okay? So the question becomes, let's say that you have, you know, one person listen to each hour. Is that two views? Were the other ones one view, Kurt?
Good point.
Now, I boiled it down into its simplest components to highlight the point that I'm making. But all I'm telling you is it's hard to know what a view is, or a listen, or a download. Or, what if I just basically, you know, turn on my live radio and then I go out to eat and I'm gone. But it's playing. Maybe the dog's listening or maybe nobody's listening. Does that count? Hey, it shows as a live stream and the listener count there, buddy. Okay, so I'm convinced they don't have any good way to keep track of this. They're all lying, and they're changing the way they do the views because they want you to believe they have a bigger audience than they have, and they have more focused eyes and ears on their content than they have. It's like the Super Bowl. You know what? 113 million people watch that sucker. You know, prices are through the roof for ad spot purchases and stuff like that. But how many people are watching the commercial at the Super Bowl when 113 million people? Most people are going to the bathroom. Some people are drunk, passed out. Some people are off barbecuing. Some people are, but hey, that TV's on, buddy, and they claim all those viewers now, don't they? Now, the dog might be watching. The kitty cat might be watching. And the three-year-old kid might be watching. Dad might be snoozing in the recliner, and mom might be getting the tomato soup ready to go for dinner. Or, you know, somebody else might be coming in from outside. You know, I don't know. But I bring this all up to say I think they're playing games like they always have because it's all about the viewer content. I reject their whole narrative and say I don't keep track of how many viewers that I have. And some say, well, that'll hurt you in advertising, Sam. And my response is, at least I'm honest about it, Sheriff.
Yeah, of course. And I hope to do the same.
What do you think, Kurt? You know, at least I'm honest about it. They claim they know and claim they have a handle. But 2 minutes? How much of that even is it of a given show they're claiming that a viewer watched?
Well, that's exactly right. They say, I guess they used to consider any customer that streamed 70% or more of a single episode or film as having viewed that property. And now, well, 70%, you know, is a lot more than 2 minutes. And I believe a number of the things that Netflix has done, you know, I mean, they gave a whole bunch of money to the Obamas, and they, to me, they've gone way far away from, I guess you could say, their beginnings. But we've seen that so many times in these different entities, haven't we?
Yeah, there you have it. All I can tell you is it's interesting. So 70%, let's just say that it's 66 2/3% or whatever, that would be 1 or 2 minutes. And in this new plan they've got, it, you'd have to have a 3-minute broadcast to be equivalent only.
Yeah.
So all they're doing is playing games, folks, because, hey, people are leaving Netflix in droves, buddy. And they know it. Yeah. Now, if you want my opinion how you ought to track views, is you really need to open it up and have more tracking. 70% is a good number, maybe 50% you could lower it to. But what if I watch something, let's say there's a live show today for Liberty Roundtable Live. What if somebody watches it next Friday or listens to it a week and a half later? Do they count, Kurt? I'm telling you.
It all depends on who's doing the counting.
That's exactly
how
the
they
point.
Count it.
Yes, indeed. And that's why when they give me their numbers, I think they're full of baloney. Just saying. All right. Hope you guys have a delightful weekend full of things like God, family, and country. Pray we can get together again and tell the tale of liberty. Pray I don't die live on the broadcast. And most importantly, we pray that the sheriff gets well soon. All right, thanks for being alongside for the ride. For Sam, Kurt, the good sheriff, and Patty Stockman, God save the Republic of the United States of America. LibertyRoundtable.com.